Welcome everyone today to Christ Blessing on this lovely January day of 2014, the 19th of January, just to identify it completely. And I am enjoying a beautiful sunny day, about 74 degrees, and sending warmth to all of you snowbirds. Still dealing with shoveling snow and cold weather, but that's January for you. You know, this is what people who live in the north expect. And most of them love it. When I talk about my nice sunny days, they say, oh, you know, I love the snow. I love the fireplaces. I love the cold. So, I'd love to be there too and see the beautiful white blanket of snow. And hopefully everyone has what they want in their life, and that it's fulfilling and nurturing you in your own special way. That's the way life should be, and in the process of doing that, it brings great variety for us to share, opportunities for diversity of experience, and ways to help one another. We have a caller on line 3, from area code 321, and I'm going to open the line. You're on.
Hi, Glenda. It's Scott.
Hello, Scott.
See, I was giving some thought to character, to improving along the lines of being calmer, more thoughtful. I actually have the same birthday as Fred Rogers. Do you remember who that is?
Give me a clue.
He was, he had the TV show, Mr. Rogers, Neighbors.
Rogers, oh yes, absolutely.
He had that caring, nurturing disposition.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking I can cull some of that, you know, astrologically speaking. But any improvement, means so much. One thing I've done is joined a class, for improving in communication skills and public speaking.
Very good.
And there's actually a contest this month with remunerative prizes, and I feel kind of positive about it. You know, I'm hoping to parlay a little change because you know, I want so badly to come there this spring.
Oh, okay. We'll just hold that in our hearts for you.
Yeah, if I got to be one of the 500, it would make everything worthwhile. You know. Some blessings definitely have to come into place, though.
Okay. We will hold you in our heart. We feel a great calling to have you join this community.
Great.
That's not to say everybody isn't in the community. We have an enormous worldwide community, and you're already in it. But I know you feel a great connection with our blessing givers, and we'd love to have you. We had a great call yesterday and a great blessing, and we know that we're going to be doing some phenomenally wonderful and important work this year. So we're really, really focused on making a difference in a world that will be getting better. Let's embrace the spirit of optimism, not only for ourselves but for everyone. And do what we need to do, whether it's like Scott. You decide you want to improve something in your own life, your own character, cultivate an ability. Or maybe you've had a project that's just been sitting on the shelf. Bring that project out. Turn it into something valuable to yourself and others. Because when we meet the universe halfway, it reaches back for us. And one of my favorite concepts of destiny is that when you reach for something, it reaches back for you. And I find that to be absolutely 100% true with God. You reach for God, God reaches back for you, always. You reach for Yeshua, Yeshua reaches back for you, always. The same with the Holy Spirit, always. And think about the things in your life that you have reached for, that reached back for you. Those were points of destiny for you. There are lots of definitions of destiny, but my truest experience personally is that when I reach for something, it reaches back for me. I wondered about this home and this new location that I went into, and I just came down here to explore. I was just looking in the area. Larry and I both really had a yearning for being close to a large body of water, Atlantic, the Gulf, Pacific, something, some Caribbean, something. And so we thought, well, the closest to hand is the Gulf. After my art show, I'm just going to go down and check it out. And I came down here, and it felt nice. And I looked at several homes, and they seemed nice, but nothing grabbed me. And then I found, I made contact with an old friend who referred one of her cultivated realtors down in this area. And she called me back and got to know her. And everything I asked, she responded to. And then she called me back about 3 hours later and said, Glenda, I have a home you need to see. It's just been reduced by $90,000 today. And she said it would have been out of your price range, but it's in your price range now, and it was underpriced to start with. So you really need to go see that. I went to see it, and it was like, it was almost ka-chink, ka-chink, ka-chink. Everything on my list just got checked off. And I went, oh, my heavens. And I thought, but, you know, even though it's really at the upper end of my price range, I wonder if they would take less. So I made an offer. They took it. They took it. Covered all the closing costs, which was necessary for us. And then it was like, okay, it's going to have to approve through VA, so we don't have a down payment, because we're not rich people. You know, we have been renters for 15 years. And this had to just transfer into our rental budget in order for us to have it. And it came in exactly the way it had to be. And so I, okay, well, this definitely was destiny. And one thing after another on that. But it's not just this. For example, with the Lamb and the Lion, the dreams had been coming to me, and I was pushing them back. But finally, I agreed to consider the idea. And I prayed about the idea. And I even researched the history of art portraying Jesus Christ. And as I did that, I thought, well, you know, nothing's really clicked. Nothing's happening. So I'm going to just take a long day for myself for prayer. I'm going to be in prayer the whole day, and I'm going to see what happens, and if nothing else, I'm going to pray that this be taken from me, because it doesn't belong to me. Obviously, it belongs to somebody, but not me. Well, that's the day the light came. The vision came. In other words, I had to put out a little bit. And sometimes we have to reach out to the point of taking a risk so that God, the universe, other people, whatever is in the works for us, whether it's business, nature, our family, a relationship, to where they know we really mean it, to where we really are reaching. We're putting our 50% on the line. I really had taken a risk before the vision came, because I set aside 3 months of my life to do nothing but pray, think, create, study. Is this a feasibility? I did not want to do another Sunday school painting, because there's plenty of them, and it would have done no good for my career. And I knew that it just wasn't what God would ask me to do, because my whole career had been guided by the light and the grace of God, and my parents and my many, many supporters and collectors. And I knew God would not call me to set aside my whole career to do a Sunday school painting, especially considering that none of them were based upon anywhere close to accurate information. They were designed to illustrate a story. So I really put myself on the line. And, you know, if you think about your career, you have to do that too. You may think that you're designed, that you were brought into this world to be a doctor, but you're going to have to take a chance going to medical school or Palmer School of Chiropractic or maybe nursing or whatever. You're going to have to take a chance. Put yourself on the line and let the universe, let God, let others, those you would serve, step up to the plate and say, welcome. We want you. You're here. This is the way it works with everything, my friends. Things don't just fly through the door, and that's our destiny. Now, there is serendipity in life. There is coincidence. And sometimes there is grace and ease of appearance, such as the discount on my home. That just came from grace, from God, from the universe. It was spontaneous, serendipitous, coincidental, quote unquote, with my just connecting with this realtor, just being down here right now. But that wasn't all it took. And, you know, we have to realize that the coincidences that happen to us are necessarily followed through by acceptance on our part. And then acceptance on our part has to be followed through by genuine interest and application of some degree of dedicated effort. Because, well, let's just say you're courting somebody. You found the person you think is the love of your life. You don't just have one date. You have two or three. You do different things together. You get to know one another. It requires follow through. And it requires thoughtful, dedicated, interested follow through. And if you're speaking of relationship, you have to even tolerate the fact that one or both partners might feel it moving too fast and getting cold feet and you back out. Maybe you have an argument. Maybe you don't speak for 3 days and you have to sit on the back porch and wonder, well, was this a meaningful breakup or was it just a test? And then you survive that challenge and you find it was just a test and you really do belong together. You see what I mean? There is a dedicated follow through on everything, but the points of destiny always happen when you reach and the object of your reach, the person of your reach, the intent of your reach reaches back. And I think that's a good thought for us to open conversations for our blessings and then to do a wrap on it, discussing how we assimilate our blessings and what to expect in the days after. We have someone on our line, and I'd like to take that call. That's Scott. I'm sorry, I didn't take Scott off. If anyone wants to join the call, please feel free to sign on. It's *6 followed by 1. I'm going to take a drink. And I'm back now. So when we move into our blessing, so often we pray prayers of things we would want, like our list for Christmas. And we're just hoping that some one of them will be appealing to God, that God will respond and answer that prayer. But let's just think for a minute. What have you already done to move into that? Have you started, like Scott? He's taking on a speaking course. He's starting. He's doing something. By doing something, Scott, you will get a response. How many people just want to find the love of their life, but they're not going out socially? They're not making contacts through friends. They're not going to places and events where someone appropriate for their life would be. Those who want a new career and they're not even considering the options. Now, let's just talk about that for a minute. Let's just say you want a career, but you don't even know where to look. So you're going to pray, God, please show me something. Please, please show me. Okay, so in your blessing, or in the days after your blessing, God will show you something, but do you know what to do with it? Are you prepared to look at these things you're being shown and then follow through investigating? You know, you have to do something. This is the way life works. You have to, let's say you've got a health condition. You want some repair on it. In the next few days, someone may email you, someone may write you, you may see an advertisement on television. Are you going to follow up and investigate? Maybe someone will refer a therapist to you. Are you going to look up that therapist and investigate? If you just wait for that therapist to walk through your living room door, then you're expecting too much. There is a balance between reaching and reaching back. And that forms your destiny. Now, if you investigate a therapist, let's just stay on that topic for a moment, and nothing really indicates to you, and you check this person out through some just local referral services. Let's say it might be Angie's List or a medical referral service, or you talk to people, and that you don't hear anything that sounds really wonderful or appropriate for you. You hang on to the name for a while, and then you call. You say, well, okay, whatever, I'll call, and I'll just have one appointment, or I'll have an interview with the person. I don't have anybody else right now. You call, you go, and you find it really isn't the right person, but they're able to refer you to the right person. And the person they refer you to calls you back instantly after you call to leave an appointment there. You get an appointment immediately. You meet that person, and everything works. That's what reaching back looks like. So sometimes, like the old fairy tale adage goes, you have to kiss a lot of frogs before you find the prince. And going through the process of reaching is part of our dedicated effort to unfold our destiny, to pass the effort test, and to really show the commitment we expect from others. You know, we really expect others to be committed to us, whether it's our personal relationship, our business clients, or the people we hire in business. We expect them to be dedicated. If we hire an attorney, we expect that attorney to have to show up with fiduciary duty to us. Doctors, we expect it of our teachers. We expect that. Well, if we expect it, what makes us think that we don't have to search and reach and apply ourselves with some kind of dedication in pursuit of finding the right connections, the right services, the right response, even with God? God expects us to show a certain amount of dedication, not just to make out a Christmas shopping list like a little kid and put 20 things on a list, most of which, if you didn't get, you wouldn't care. But actually, there's two or three things on there you really do care about. And because you had so many things on your list, you got distracted and you didn't show your parents or your grandparents or your aunts and uncles how much you cared about those two or three things. What a better Christmas list it would have been if you had just focused your attention on what really mattered. We offered a seminar with Spiritus called What Matters Most. And it was all designed toward really cutting to the chase of what matters most so that we can focus our love, our intention, and our effort in the most efficient, enthusiastic, and dedicated way toward what matters most. And the thing is, when we do that, the entirety of the universe, the entirety of existence, from God all the way down to the people, the sackers we meet in the grocery store, all of them meet us halfway when we're really dedicated. I want you to take this little test. Go to the grocery store when you're checking out next time or sometime in the future, and you can test it both ways. One way, you can just be checking out, focus on the the prices rolling in front of you and your checkbook or your credit card and the checker and making sure everything belongs to you. And, you know, you're focused on yourself and you're paying and you pay no attention to the sacker. None at all. Just take a look. Your groceries will be half sacked when you finish. They won't be waiting for you in your cart. Now, next time you go, not only say hello to the sacker, but pull a sack over and put a few groceries in the, put in one sack. And then, of course, you have to get back to your business of paying for your groceries. But you put some things in the sack. When you're finished, the sacker will be done. Probably your cart will be loaded. Why? Because you engaged in the activity with that person. This is the way the universe works. The universe is not built for passive engagement on any level. Not with God, not with the postal worker peoples. Get to know your postman. Get to know the people at your post office. Get to know the policemen that work your neighborhood. Get to know everybody in your life. Make a contribution to these people. They will contribute back. And you may think it doesn't matter, but I'm telling you, it most certainly does. And it may not matter with regard to your most intent interest at the moment, but let's just say your most intent interest at the moment is a health issue. And what if that health issue worsened and you had to be rushed to the hospital? The policeman in your neighborhood will escort you. You see, we're all one, but we forget that. We think we get so involved in our little isolated issues, challenges, and dramas that we think we're alone. And then we feel abandoned and unsupported. And so we become confused about what our needs are. One of your very first and primary needs is to be a community. To form a community of those closest and dearest to you. To be part of a community of people who are similar to you. And then a larger community of people that offer diversity for you. And then a larger community of people that just provide services unknown to you, but you're prepared to engage with them when it becomes obvious that you and they share a common destiny, because that's really all destiny is. It's sharing a point of the universe becoming what it is. That's destiny. And if you're prepared for it, then it comes about more easily, more profoundly, more joyfully. I think it was Earl Nightingale who said, good fortune or good luck is just opportunity coming together with preparedness. That's a different way of saying a very similar thing. Because that's really what good luck is, good fortune. It's positive destiny. It's really what it is. And so let's move into that state of preparedness in our prayer and in our blessing. It's time for our blessing now. And I really would invite all of you to pray the prayer of what you most desire, what's most important to you, what you've really been applying some effort toward and you're willing to follow through on. Let us pray for God's participation. Let us pray for the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray for Yeshua helping us to fully unfold the love of our heart, our whole being, in the coming of this moment of destiny, whatever it may be. It may be a grand scale of transformation for the earth. It may be the coming of a heart's desire. Let us be in that prayer of what matters most to you. And let us begin. I would ask that the blessing givers join me in conducting this blessing. And let us remember the light that we share as blessing givers and the core of that light from God our Creator, from the sun, from our earth, into which we are brought as one being, one soul, one greater common light. Everyone else be seated with your feet bare on the floor and your head uncovered, unless it is your faith protocol to have your head covered, in which case your faith will make you whole. We do this, we have a seating position so that we can draw energies from above more easily and through our feet from the earth more easily. And we draw energy both ways into our heart, where it activates the light and love of our heart as we pray. And now I would like to thank Yeshua with an invocation. Dear Yeshua, Lord of life, fulfiller of love, Son of God, we ask that you be with us in our hearts now as we pray for that which means the very most to us, to show us ways in which we can participate, and also give us the faith to receive the gifts of others, the support of others, and the fulfillment that we can receive in God's completion of our application and our desire of partnership with others and discovery of the blessings of the earth and all the blessings that life can bring us. We thank you for your love, your guidance, for ever being with us, and for being with us now. Amen. The energetic flow of blessing is complete. Now it's time to rest. Rest for at least 7 minutes and just assimilate and nourish yourself with the love and the blessing that has been given. Much love from me, and I look forward to being with you again next Sunday. Bye-bye for now.